الحمد لوليه والصلاة على نبيه والوزن والعدل والنزم والفضل والعزم بالجزم بوحدته بكبريائه بسلطان وبإعلان وبإيمان وإتقان وبيان في فرقان وحده لا شريك له وحده بوحدة موحدا بوحدة موحدا بوحدة وحيدا أحدا بلا مدد وجدد ونصب ونصف في الكمال لا شريك له ولا مثل له ولا مثال له ولا نظير له ولا مقارن له ولا مكاظم له ولا وزير له ثم نشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا وقدوتنا وإمامنا معصومنا ومقصودنا أعظم الخلق وأشرف الخلق وأنور الخلق وأكمل الخلق سيدنا وحبيبنا مولانا محمد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإذا سألك عبادي عني فإني قريب أجيب دعوة الداعي إذا دعاني فليستجيبوا لي وليؤمنوا بي لعلهم يرشدون صدق الله العظيم وقال نبينا وحبيبنا صلى الله عليه وسلم إن أسرع الدعاء إجابة دعوتها الإبن لغائب وقال صلى الله عليه وسلم الدعاء مخ العبادة وقال صلى الله عليه وسلم الدعاء سلاح المؤمن أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام My dear respected brothers, elders, all praise and glory be to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, creator, nourisher, sustainer, provider, protector, and control single thing in this. Peace and salutation be upon our beloved Master Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon his family members, companions, upon every single Muslim brothers and sisters who followed and who is following and who will follow the sunnah of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam till the day of Qiyamah. My dear respected brothers, elders in Islam, today's topic is a perfect supplication. Before we go into discuss about the perfect supplication, we need to understand what is a supplication and why we need to turn towards Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask Him the reason and need for the supplication. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained in a many different way and all the ibadahs, whatever we are doing, it can be hajj, sawm, zakah, salah, everything. The essence of all the ibadah is supplication. That is, supplication means communication between the slave and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That you are communicating with Rabbul Izzat Jalla Jalalah. You are communicating with the creator of this entire universe. You are communicating and you are complaining and you are telling and you are, submitting all your grief and submitting all your sorrow and you're surrendering yourself to front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what it called dua. Supplication means to communicate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you see in every dua, in every ibadah, when you take salah, in surah Fatiha, the essence of surah Fatiha, after praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is a dua. And then end of salah is a tahiyyah. That is also dua we supplicate for. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send peace and blessing to our beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when you take sawm, fasting, the whole day you stay without eating, controlling your desires, whole day you stay away and you prevent yourself from all those things which will nullify the fast, and end of the day you raise your hand and you say, Allah, I have done this for you, please accept it. And even in the Hajj, our Hujjaj are returning back from home. The main part of Hajj is Arafah. In Arafah, what do? Do you give charity? Do you pray? In the Arafah, the entire Arafah is dua, supplication. You raise your hand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you put everything, you relieve yourself. And you submit yourself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this supplication, dua, can be divided into many parts. One is our day-to-day activities, our ibadah, that is also a dua, that is also supplication. And then number two, istighfar, asking forgiveness. This is the one of the best form of supplication. All the prophets, Adam alayhi salam, when he was sent down, he made istighfar. Rabbana, qala Rabbana, ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرَحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Both of them, Adam alayhi salam and Hawa, Adam and Eve alayhim salatu wassalam, both of them said, رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَاهُ وَاللَّهُ. We have done injustice for ourselves. We didn't, doing disobedience is not doing injustice for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Disobeying Allah, we are doing injustice for ourselves. So they said, ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِنْ لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا. Oh Allah, if you're not going to forgive us, لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. We will become losers. We will become losers. This is the supplication where Adam alayhi salam supplication Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Holy Quran. Every prophet, their dua, Allah has mentioned. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the istighfar. فَقُلْ تُسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ. In the story of Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, when they were, you know, when they disobeyed Allah, Allah said, ask them to ask forgiveness. Seek forgiveness from me. فَقُلْ تُسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا. Definitely Allah is most forgiving. Most forgiving. And give the benefit, if you make istighfar, what do you get? يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا. Allah will send the rain down from us. وَيُمْدِدُكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ. And Allah will assist us to protect our wealth, to increase our wealth and our children, progeny. وَيُمْدِدُكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ أَنْهَارًا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make for you jannat, gardens and rivers. That is, ulama kiram explained this part into two. Some say that this is Allah will give you in Jannah. Some say Allah will give that even in this world. A very nice, beautiful hayatan tayyiba. A good, you know, pleasing life in this world as well. So istighfar is a very good form of ibadah. Yunus alayhi salam, when he was trapped in the womb, in the stomach of the fish, then also he made istighfar. La ilaha illa ant, subhanaka inni kuntu minal zalimin. La ilaha illa ant, none worthy of worship except you. Subhanak, you are most glorified, you are most purified, Ya Allah. Inni kuntu minal zalimin, I am the wrongdoer. What he did, he put yourself in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So supplication is, you can divide into many parts. What is our day-to-day activities, ibadah? And then, is that istighfar. That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And sometimes we think, to do istighfar, I have to do something wrong. I must disobey Allah. No. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, more than 70 times every day he used to make istighfar. More than 70 times. What did he do wrong? Ma'soom. We say ma'soomana. He has been protected from disobeying Allah. He never disobeys Allah. He has been protected. Allah has designed, Allah protects him from disobeying. All the prophets have been protected. We are not ma'soom. We are not protected. So that's why we need to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us. We need to ask Allah to protect us. Maulana Sulaiman Mullah, a very famous scholar and a very good international speaker, he gives a very good example for the protection. Why we need to always ask Allah dua in order to protect us? He gives an example about a very notorious child. Now, father is going to go and visit a very important person. He's going with the family. What he's saying, he's giving a long warning before introduction to the child. Okay, we are going to this person's house. You must behave yourself. You must just sit, because he's very notorious. He will break everything. So what happened? father gave the entire, you know, advice to the child, don't move, just sit and do what I say. Okay, as he said that, they went and visited him, visited the, you know, the friend, the important person. The child was seated, very good child, nothing, no, because father actually gave him a thorough warning. Child knows, if I'm going to disobey here, I'm in trouble. He just waited. After a while, father had to excuse himself to go and relieve, you know, the nature call. Father went, came back and saw child had done the big mess up. Father wasn't there. He went. Soon as he came back, he saw everything he messed up. Father was really annoyed. Really annoyed, but can't help it. Everything is finished. Then he gives the example, he's saying, if Allah protects the person, like the father was protecting the child and saying that you should not disobey, the child knew that father was around and child was, you know, behaving himself. Soon as the child went out of the protection of the father, he did what he wanted. So he said, each and every one of us, to be in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we need to come under the protection of Allah. Allah has to protect us. Sometimes we think of doing something come across, we are unable to do that. All this happens through supplication. I will come back to that part of it. So istighfar, you don't need to do anything wrong to ask istighfar. Every day you make a habit, make istighfar. For example, after salah, what did Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Why? Was it anything wrong with it? No. Istighfar is something in means of, that is submitting yourself, Allah, I have done it. I'm not sure whether I did it in a perfect way. So Allah, please forgive me. According to my ability, I have done it. So please forgive me. So istighfar comes after everything. After everything. And my respected brother, so this is another form of istighfar. Another form of dua. One is our ibadah. Second one is istighfar. Third is salawat upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli wa sallim ala Muhammad. You can say, when you say one blessing, when you say one salawat upon Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send how many salawat? 10 salawat upon us. 10 times. When we make salawat, and every time, even after adhan, the dua of adhan, after the adhan we say a dua, right? Allahumma rabba hadhihi da'wati tam, wa salati al-qa'ima, aati sayyidina Muhammadan al-wasilata wal-fadila. This is also sending blessing upon Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we are praying, O Allah, grant Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the most honorable position in Jannah. What is the most honorable position? Only one person can possess that. Only one person is entitled to get that. That is Maqam al-Mahmood. The place is most praiseworthy place. Belongs to who? Our beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After every adhan, we are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant that place to who? Our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is another form of what? Dua, supplication. Salawat, and then our ibadah, our istighfar, then salawat. Once a sahabi came to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and asked, O Ya Rasulallah, if I'm going to divide my ibadah, act of worship, into different parts, in that, how many percentage I have to send salawat upon you? Send, you know, blessings upon you. Quarter? Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, okay, quarter, if you increase, it's better for you. Then he asked, nisf, half? Then Rasulullah said, same thing, half, is if you increase, it's better for you. Then say, as-thuluth, three-quarter of my ibadah? Then Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you increase, it's better for you. In last, in end, this father, akulluhu ya Rasulullah, my entire ibadah, my entire act of worship, if I send salawat upon you. Then Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, kafaka dunya wal akhirah, that will suffice for you this world and in hereafter. That means all your need in this world and hereafter will be fulfilled. So salawat has lots of wish. Even on the Friday, mashallah, today is the Thursday, tonight will be the Friday night. One of the best ibadah yet that you can do on Friday night and the Friday, that is sending salawat upon Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because through Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have inherited this entire rich religion that we have. So everything will pass through, it will go via Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We don't need to send, you know, read Yasin and that and this and send it to Rasulullah specially. It's not a needed, because everything, all our ibadah is related with Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Everything, even in salah, in the end we have to say salawat upon Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right. This is the third form of what? Dua, supplication. Ibadah, istighfar, salawat. And other one is our day-to-day, morning and evening, there are certain supplications that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us. When you wake up in the morning, Alhamdulillahi alladhi ahyana ba'dama amatana wa ilayhi nushur. This is our day-to-day, in every injunction, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us certain du'as. These du'as are the ones which are going to protect us. Even after salah, there are so many du'as, mashallah, there are boards right around, you can see. After salam, Allahumma anta salam, wa minka salam, Allahumma la mani lima a'tayt, wa la mu'ti lima mana'at. All these supplications are special supplication where Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has described us to do those things. Describe. In every injunction, in every occasion, there is a dua, there is a supplication. This is the fourth form. And the fifth, and the best, last, and the best one is praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Glorifying Allah, this is the best of dua. But glorifying Allah, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. MashaAllah, in these days, ayyamu tashriq, after every salah, in every action we say, Allahu akbar, Allahu akbar, Allahu akbar, la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, Allahu akbar, wa lillahi alhamd. This is a supplication, it is a dua, glorifying Allah. Glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every time Allah loves that. Any dua that you ask without the glorification of Allah, that dua is not valid. Two things is necessary when you are going to ask Allah dua. Two things is necessary. That is, one is glorifying, praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, salawat upon Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This too is very, very important. When it was asked, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how to ask dua, the form of asking dua, whenever Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say, you pray. A sahaba used to pray, Allahumma la man la tarahu al-uyun, wa la tukhalithu al-dhunun, wa la yasifu al-wasifun. His dua, his entire dua was praising Allah. Wallah, no eyes have seen you, no one can describe you, he's going on. You can count the every rain, drop of every rain, you can count every grain. You start praising. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called that person and said, I have never heard anybody praising Allah better than you. I have never heard anyone praising Allah better than you. So praising Allah, Allah loves. And what do you get in return? Imam Bukhari rahimahullah, last hadith, we know the Bukhari Sharif, after the Quran, the most authentic compilation, the most authentic book. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah brings the last hadith about this two tasbih, two words of glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah wa bihamdi, subhanallah al-azim. The hadith is very famous hadith. Kalimatan, khafifatan ala al-lisan, thaqilatan ala al-mizan, habibatan ila al-rahman, subhanallah wa bihamdi, subhanallah al-azim. There is two kalima, two words, which is very easy on the tongue, and very weighty, very heavy in the mizan, that is the scale. And habibatani ila rahman, very beloved, most beloved to who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Rasulullah said, subhanallah wa bihamdi, subhanallah al-azim. That is, subhanallah, Allah glory, and you are most purified. Glory be to you, wa bihamdi, and all praise be to you. Subhanallah al-Azim, Subhan, again glory and purification al-Azim, the greatest. Imam Bukhari rahimullah brings that, and ulama explain, this is the last hadith. Many a time when Khatmul Bukhari, when the ulamas complete the entire, you know, the study of Bukhari Sharif, the last they will do in a big ceremony of Khatmul Bukhari. An explanation, my ustad used to say that, why you need to glorify Allah? What is the benefit that we getting by glorifying Allah? In return, if we glorify Allah and if you purify Allah, Allah is clean and pure. No one need to glorify Allah, but by doing that Allah will make us praiseworthy. Our actions also will become purified. Allah will purify our actions. Allah will purify our deeds. Allah will purify our life. Because we are praising who? Rabbul Izzat Allah. For example, a person is praising the president, a person is praising the minister, in all the platform is standing, what is the president will give in return? Give him a very honorable position, am I right? The country give him a very honorable position because he is my fan, every way he is just praising me, no one else. So he will give a very honorable position. Just like that, Rabbul Izzat Allah, if you praise him, he gives you the most honorable position. That's something, what is the most honorable position? You know, most honorable position is that, not according to our mind, according to Allah and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah will give that. So, supplication, I divide into five parts. Okay, by coming from back, first is glorifying Allah. Praising Allah is the best form of making dua. Sending salawat upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Third is what? It's what you call our day-to-day dua that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, every occasion taught us, that is called sunnah dua. Dua-e masnuna. There are so many books, there is Hisnul Muslim, the book called Hisnul Muslim, the fortress of Muslim. Why they are called Hisnul Muslim? If a Muslim reads this, like he is under a, you know, the fortress. Inside that is protection, am I right? So that dua, in the morning, evening, after salah, in all the induction, then the istighfar, forgiveness, asking forgiveness. The fifth, all our ibadah, that is salah, fasting, hajj, zakah, everything is, that is a dua. So dua can be divided, supplication can be divided into five parts, that glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, salawat upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, day-to-day dua supplication that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have described to us. Third is that, fourth is our istighfar, asking forgiveness. Fifth, all our ibadahs are dua. Now, every action, now before salah, now we came for salah, everything before there are certain conditions, while doing there are certain conditions, afterwards there are certain conditions. For dua also, same thing, before dua there are certain conditions to make your dua perfect. Make your supplication perfect. That is related. And you can divine. There are certain positions, there are certain places, certain times, certain positions is that most powerful dua. At that time, the dua becomes most powerful. Certain places, certain times, certain position. For example, position means a father is praying for who? For the children. This is a position. As a father, she's making dua. This is heard, you know, this is very powerful. And children making dua when the father and the parents have passed away, when they raise hand, Allahu Akbar. This is hadith says, the asra'at dua, the fastest in acceptance. And then, certain situations, da'watul maghloom, when you have been oppressed and you are helpless. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever he used to send a governor, when he used to send Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu to Yemen, amongst his advice, one of that he said, you fear the da'wah, the dua of the oppressed. In Arabic, they divide into two. They say, da'a lahu, da'a alayhi. Da'a lahu, he asking dua for you, in favor of you. Da'a alayhi, making dua in against you. So always say, da'watul mazloom, the dua supplication of a person who has been oppressed. An injustice has been done for him. His dua is what? And al-imamul adil, imamul adil, a imam, a just imam, a just leader, a just ruler. His dua also heard very much to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So certain position, dua will be very powerful. In certain times, for example, the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, we have passed that. That time the dua is most heard, very powerful at that time. In Ramadan, this is the time dua is very powerful. In Ramadan, every day there is certain time. Time of Tahajjud, Wal Fajr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes oath. Takes swear by the time of Fajr. Wal Fajr, time of Duha, this time. Wal Duha, Allah takes swear. Allah swear by the time of Duha. just mid afternoon, before sun, you know, come to the right to the middle, before that the time of duha. Every day there is a time where dua is accepted. That is the time of fajr, tahajjud, and time of duha. Every week on a Friday there is a time where your dua is answered. Your dua is answered. You know, those olden days, our grandparents used to tell a story. So when they heard about this, one old lady, she was very poor. So she heard that on Friday there is a time where dua has been accepted. So those days what they had, these, what do you call those big in English, I don't know what you call that. You know that they used to grind. The grinding equipment, they never used to have grinders. They used to have a big, you know, pole and a big stone, and they used to do this. So it was the iron thing. So it was, she was keeping and doing that. She's making dua, Allah, make this, you know, turn this to be gold. She's making dua, nothing happening. Then she turned, she got fed up. She said, okay, at least, you know, make it silver. Going on, silver, no, still not answered. They say, at least copper. Going on, copper, still nothing. Say, at least just make this an iron. When she said that, it became iron. Understood. So what they always say, in dua, when you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what Allah expects from us return, that after the dua, you have to be very patient. You know, very patient. And another story they say, I just feel, all of you feel a bit sleepy. A man just thought, you know, I must become very closer to Allah, and then only Allah can hear me. He wants to ask dua. He climbed, you know, 2 days, took him 2 days to climb the highest mountain. He went up there, spent a lot of money, went there, now he's asking dua. Asked so many things, nothing is being answered. So at last he said, Allah, I spent so much of money to reach here, at least give that in back. Give me that in return. Give me that in return. He just really got angry. Nothing happened. When he was coming back, he stuck, you know, he slipped. He said, hey Allah, if you can't give, say don't, you know, if you can't give, don't give me, but don't come and push and come and play a game with me. Don't try to push me and try to play a game with me. You know, this, what happened? We are not patient. We have to be very much patient with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't know in which way our du'as will be answered. It's just, you know, sense of humor for us to understand. So there are certain times. On Friday, there is a time our du'as will be accepted. Some scholars say that khutbah, there is two khutbah. Between the two khutbah, the du'a is accepted. And immediately after the Asr Salah, before sunset, on Friday, many scholars have said, on Friday, after Asr Salah, till sunset, that time is the time where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts the supplicate. Inshallah, tomorrow is our Friday, we can try that. So certain times where Allah accept our du'a, there are times. Every day there is, every week there is, and then every month there is a special time where Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to fast on those days. Ayyamul Bir, that is the 13th, 14th and 15th day. These days are known as Ayyamul Bir. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to fast in order, every day Rasulullah used to fast. On those days as well, by fasting and asking du'a. And every year, on Ramadan, and the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, our du'as have been accepted. There are certain other occasions as well, right? And then, there are certain places where your du'a is most powerful, become very powerful. That is in Haram Sharif, in Makkah, near Hajar al-Aswad, behind Maqam Ibrahim, under the, you know, Multazim. And there are so many places in Arafah, in Mina, in Muzdalifah, in Jamarat. All these are places where your du'a has been heard. Alhamdulillah, our hujjats are coming back after, you know, asking all these du'as. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept all their du'as. Definitely. So we also have been there and we have asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In those places also the du'a has been accepted. And in Medina, we know the Rawda Sharif. The Rawda Sharif is that between the mimbar, the Rawdatul Jannah, between the mimbar and the qabr of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam marked that place as the garden of paradise. Says, مَا بَيْنَ مِنْبَرِي وَقَبْرِ بَيْتِي رَوْضَةٌ مِنْ رِيَاضِ الْجِنَّةِ, which is between my mimbar and my house, it is the garden of paradise. You see, always there is a rush. Everybody is trying to fight there to go and take prayer. So certain places our du'as have been accepted. Certain times and certain positions, like I said, as a father, parents asking dua for the children, children asking dua for the parents. And then Imam al-Adil, a just ruler, an Imam, his dua is really answered by Allah. And oppressed, a slave of Allah, injustice has been done for him, his dua is accepted. And the traveler, when he has lost hope, he's traveling, while he's traveling, his dua is accepted. His dua is, you know, most dear to Allah. And a person who is suffering with illness, he has so many type of disease, he's not well, at that time, he is heard by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's helpless, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, you know, most loving. Allah loves us, at that time, his dua is accepted. And when you are really down, no help, you have lost hope in everything, in the end you can return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right. Now, before the dua, I have explained to you type of du'as, and when the du'as becomes very powerful, places, times and conditions. And now before the du'a, what are the conditions that we have to abide by in order our du'as to become perfect? In hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about the traveler, his du'a is accepted, but when his means of income is haram, his earning is haram. The hadith says, he traveled for so long, he has become so dirty and he's lost everything, and now he's raising his hand and he says, Wallah, Ya Rab, Ya Rab. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, his garments what he have dressed is haram, the food what he consumed is haram, and everything is haram. How will his dua be answered? The first very important thing is that, before the dua to be answered, and any ibadah to be answered, anything to be perfect or accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our income has to be halal. So we have to think, the means of income. Many times we think, why my dua is not answered? What I'm doing, every time we're asking dua, what is happening? First we have to check this, whether these conditions are correct. Whether I have done everything. Is my income? Whenever we think about income is halal, immediately comes into our mind is interest dealing. You know, I don't have interest dealing, so my income is halal. No. Not only that, that is the one form of haram income. One form of haram income. When you cheat, in the business you cheat. Nowadays, mashallah, we know all that, you know, same product, original, you get the same thing in Chinese as well. You're selling, you say, oh yes, yes, this is the German product. Same thing, you show the Chinese guy, go ahead, take the same German product and show him, he do the exactly same thing, with the same name, and you sell it to the same price. But it's not costing you same thing, it's not the same quality. If you sell it to the same German price, whatever excess you have charged, it's haram. You don't call it, this is a business trick, no. It's haram, because you're cheating. Actually, the buyer who is coming and your customer is thinking that this is the original product. You have to say that, okay, it is something similar, but it's not the exact same thing. This is made in China. So this is my price. If you accept that, fine. If you cheat, if you sell it to the same price, then you have done that. A means of income, so many ways. And, for example, there is another hadith says, مَفَلُّ الْغَنِي ظُلْمٌ. When you do business, always businessmen borrows money, he imports things, after selling then he gives the money back, so many, you know, it goes in rolling, so many things. When you are in position to pay the debt, and you are not paying, you are delaying, and you are delaying and you are earning from that money anything, that is also haram. مَقَلُّ الْغَنِيَ. A rich man, who has the means of paying the debt, and he is not paying, he is just delaying because he can make a roll. He can keep that and do something and he can earn more money. If he delays that, hadith says, zulm, it is oppression. So whatever you earn through that, it becomes haram. It becomes haram. And many a time I speak this, our business community always get angry with me, under invoices. You buy a product, you cheat the government, you cover certain things. According to me, I feel that it's haram because you are lying. Always when it comes to the businessman, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, الصدوق الأمين مع النبيين التجار كلهم فجار. One hadith says, all the traders are sinners. All the traders are sinners. Except one who does trading with trustworthiness by speaking truth. And another hadith says, إِلَّا مَنِ اتَّقِ اللَّهَ وَبَرَّ Who fear Allah, who fear Allah and do righteous through his income. Do good deeds through his income. So it's a very narrow line. We have to always, you know, we know a situation, our business culture is different, but we cannot say that this is different, we can't do that and remain as it is. Work towards improving, becoming, make your money white. You understand what I'm saying? We all have black money, make it white. Because obeying the country's law, you can't lie, you can't cheat, you can't bribe. If you're going to do all these things, you are forced to do all this thing. If you are under invoicing, you are forced to bribe the tax person who is going to come to you. Bribing is haram. So you are forced to do so. When you do one wrong thing, that will lead to do so many other wrong things. So must understand that, very importantly, that our income, not only interest, all the other dealings have to go through. There is Kitabul Bay in Kitab, clearly explains about the trading, the chapter regarding trading. So many things. And there is another culture amongst our society, unfortunately. Unfortunately, our Muslim. Rich man, what he does? He gives money for a businessman. No condition, no agreement, no percentage has been discussed. Only thing what he does, monthly you give me 20,000 profit. He sets the amount. People know that this is happening in bazaar, what I'm speaking. Monthly you give me 20,000. So this man, there is no, what is the agreement you are getting into? How many percentage of your investment? Through your percentage, okay, what is the profit you are going to share? No agreement is done. Only he is saying give 20,000 in return. Sometimes that person, the trader who borrowed the money, he is not earning so much, but he is forced to do that. He is forced to give the 20,000. If he doesn't give for 1, 2, 3 month, he asks, hey, give my money back. What is this? He doesn't take any risk of loss. Any dealing, any partnership, any investment, loss and profit have to be shared. The risk has to be borne by both the partners, both the people. And this is widely taking place in our bazaar. So very important, our dua, our supplications to be answered, the means of income have to be halal. So many ways we can go through and see. Another thing is that, there is another way they say, this is a business trick. Increasing the demand. For example, when the Christmas comes, automatically the eggs is very expensive. They create an artificial demand. Create an artificial demand, and we know everyone wants egg at this period, and create. Even that is not allowed in Islam. Not allowed, just pricing. I have seen for my own eyes, in South Africa, there is a season where the fruits, apples, grapes and orange, it just grows like, you know, wild. You know what they do in order to keep a high price? They, you know, load a ship with all these orange and apples and go and dump into the sea. When asked that, feeding the fish. They feed the fish. Why? If that excess amount of fruits comes to the market, the price has to go down. You know, price has to go down. So what they want? They do want that a service. The main object of trading is service first. So every poor man is able to buy an apple, 1 rand, 1 rupee apple, Allahu Akbar. Every young, now, it's very difficult because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving in large. Allah's barakah, Allah is opening up. But the traders are controlling, they are creating this artificial demand. So we are always thinking, you know, with numbers and calculation. By Allah, numbers doesn't work. By Allah, Allah has a certain hidden barakah, no one knows about it. No one knows about it. So my respect, but even creating this artificial demand, certain times what happened? They know, okay, now this year they have harvest, there is a flood, there is a problem. The people, paddy field, what they do, they store the paddy. Keep it for a while. 1 month, 2 month, 3 month, the price is right up. Now they release the goods. Whatever excess you have earned by storing all those things and creating this demand, it is haram. The hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, about a very clear, when a villager and a city man between the two dealings, a city man should not come to the villager and buy the product. In between the trading, in between take place. What happens? When the city person comes to the village, without allowing the villager come to the city and sell his product, what he will do? He knows the actual market price. He will go there and he will actually hit a very bottom line and say, you know, in market you can't sell this for that price. And he has a benefit through here. Actually the market price is 20 rupees. He said, you can't sell it for 20. I will buy the entire lot for 10 rupees. You give it to me? He think, okay, I'm going to take all this effort of carrying this load, I have all these things. Why do I need to do that? He gets that for 10 bucks. He comes to the city, market price is 20. Now he has the whole lot stocked with his hand. Now what he says that, I'm selling, only releasing the good for 25 rupees. Now he has a cut there, he has a cut here. Who has been affected there? Who's been affected? The consumers are being affected. Here, what he's supposed to get, his share, his effort. The entire cultivation is the farmer's effort. He's not getting the proper price. And again here, why he cultivated it? In order to supply to the consumers. In between man, he's, you know, taking a cut from both and he becomes rich. This is the system of trading which is taking place at the moment in the world. We have to change this. We have to change this and we can change this. We as Muslims, we are the 30% of the Muslim community are the traders. And non-Muslim have done a research, 30% of Muslim population in this country are traders. So if this 30% we get together and we try to do a change, alhamdulillah, we can do it. Now we just did the Qurban. We know about the Qurban. When the time closer to Qurban, just the price of cattle and bulls increases. You know, all the same, according to the time, situation, increasing. Even some ask, when I speak about this, they say, even in Makkah they do it. For example, from Mina, to get back to Makkah in the last second day, just the Baga will ask everything what he wants. He will ask what he wants, 120, 20 riyals, 30 riyals, 50 riyals, he asks everything. Why? He just know people just want to get back. This is haram. On the situation you are charging, overpricing, haram. So it can be done in Makkah or Medina, anyway it is haram. So these are the, you have to be very careful about your means of income. Then, second is that through that halal income, what do you buy to consume, to eat? Consuming. And another matter on those same thing, in inheritance law, normally this has to be highlighted. Many think there are 6 brothers in the family, one brother has taken the entire property of the father and he is a big don. And he thinks that, you know, I am doing everything fine, mashallah, I am giving zakah on time, I am paying charity, I am giving qurban, everything. But he is eating and he is earning to haram. Why? The property has to be shared amongst all the 6 brothers. Amongst all the brothers and sisters. If he has taken the father's entire property in his hand and he thinks that what is belongs to him, na'uzu billah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala detailedly have explained in Quran about inheritance law. When you speak about math, you know, accounts, Allah speaks in inheritance law. 1:6, if mother is alive, what is the position, what is the amount mother gets? When the grandfather is there and father is not there, what is the amount the grandfather gets? Father's father, he has a share, you know that? We don't know. Father's father, grandfather, he has a share in his own son's property. When father is gone, wife, father's wife has a share. All these things we are not, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in hadith, it is compulsory for every Muslim to know the law of inheritance. Law of inheritance. Many of us are not educated. So alhamdulillah, there is alhamdulillah. Now there are so many openings. Of the Yusuf, mashallah, he did some classes regarding this inheritance law. You can get more in life, you know, more information when we go and attend. And we need to get this information. Now we are fathers, we're going to divide our properties. How should I divide? How that should happen? How that should take place? All these things. So if you are taking another brother's property and you are using it, it is haram. Right. Now, from that halal income, the food that you're going to purchase, it has to be what? Halal. It has to be halal. Now, alhamdulillah, all Ceylon Jamiat Ulama is doing a great service in regarding certifying the halal. Don't misunderstand. They are just giving a certification that according to their test, according to what they have done research, they feel this is what? Halal can be consumed by a Muslim. It doesn't give you authority when a halal seed is there, Muslim we must eat. No, it doesn't give. They only give the certification about the food. Food is free from pork, whatever the, you know, porks, whatever come from pork. Food is free from all those things, all the animal which is slaughtered without, in a halal way. That is, you know, saying without the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So many issues that when it comes list by list you can go through. Alhamdulillah. That is only certification that they are giving. They don't say that you must go and eat. Many a time we have doctors also here. Certain certification they have given, health-wise there is a problem. Those food consuming those things. Health-wise, there are certain authorities in the country to give health certification. Not the halal. Halal certification is only that according to Islamic law. According to Islamic law, this can be consumed by a Muslim. They don't give you that. They don't say you must eat that. They say you can eat that. You can consume that. For example, the matter of McDonald's, KFC, these are the chains of, you know, franchise companies which known to us by, owned by, what do you call, Jews. All the income is going to Jew. So, they are making use of those income against Muslims. So, many a time the argument comes, all Ceylon Jamiat Ulama is certified McDonald's. So, they're going to eat that and they're going to, income is coming and they're doing it wrong. So, it's haram. That is another matter. That every Muslim, we should know that. That is another matter. But about the food, can the food be consumed? Yes. Food can be consumed. Should we consume that? I advise don't, because the income is going for them. That's it. So very important, the halal means of income, what you eat. In the hadith says, وَمَطْعَمُهُ حَرَامُ وَمَشْرَبُهُ حَرَامُ وَمَلْبَسُهُ حَرَامُ. When a person is, when he is asking dua, when he is supplicating Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is raising his hand, all these things must be halal. His food must be halal. His drink has to be halal. The garment he is dressing must be halal. The place he is sitting and standing must be halal. For example, you are in a house, that house belongs to your brother. There is a share in that house for your brother. You are standing in that house and you are sitting in that house under that roof and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that dua will not be accepted. Because you are in a place, it is haram. Why? It has share for all your brothers and sisters. Has a share and you have not given the share to them. So all this has to be halal. So we have to always look at these means of income. MashaAllah, all Ceylon Jamiat Ulama have done, they have done a, you know, halal directory. You can go through that and you can see, and you all have to help in order to increase their service. There are so many things that to be done. Only thing what they are doing is they are doing a certification. Now all the poultry farms, chicken, you know, slaughtering farms have become halal. But all of us for now 1,000 years we are eating what? Beef. All these places where they slaughter beef, is it certified? Not certified. Not certified. And the way it takes place, who is slaughtering, who is doing it, so many issues around that. We are consuming that. We are eating that. So there is a doubtful thing. So it's very important. If you are down, for example, all Ceylon Jamiat Ulama has certified it, but you are feeling still have a doubt, don't go closer to it. Even a doubtful food, don't consume it. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, once he was very hungry. Every time when a food was brought to him, he used to inquire, from where did you get, from where, whenever his slave used to bring. That day he was so hungry, soon as she brought, he consumed it. He had it. And then after that, this slave asked, every day you used to ask me the source of, you know, from where did I bring this, today you didn't ask. Then he realized, yes, then asked her, from where did you bring this? Then she explains is that she brought from a house that is a magician. Her income is doing magic, you know, doing that and this. So it is doubtful. That income is doubtful. Immediately Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu felt so, you know, sad. He started drinking water and putting the finger into his mouth, and he threw out everything whatever he had. It felt very difficult because he was very hungry. All the food, soon as it goes, it observes, the body observes it. It's a doubtful. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about Musa alayhi salam, we know the long story. Musa alayhi salam was put in the river of Nile, and Fir'aun took Musa alayhi salam when he was a child, when he was a baby. And now he is looking for a suckling mother to give birth. Breastfeed Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. He gave a big announcement, say, whoever is going to come and, you know, breastfeed Musa alayhi salam, I'm going to give you so much, big gift. Because he was refusing to take so many mothers coming and feeding him, Musa alayhi salam, as a child, as a baby, refusing. Allah says in Holy Quran, وَحَرَّمْنَا عَلَيْهِ الْمَرَاضِعَ مِنْ قَبْلِ. We made all the suckling mothers haram for Musa alayhi salam except his own mother. Why? He is going to be a prophet. His means of whatever goes into his stomach has to be halal. If that mother is eating haram, through that food it has to become blood, and through that it's going to become milk. So that is also going to be doubtful. So Musa alayhi salam only, you know, suckled and took the milk of his own mother. So that's so, a child, baby, very important. Haram should not enter. Then only our dua will be answered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, other things, this is when it comes to means of income and our consumption. Third, our actions. Certain actions will, you know, block our du'as. Certain actions will block our du'a. One is that when you have broken the family ties, you are angry with your own blood-related auntie, with your own mother, with your own sister, with your own brother. If you are angry, this action will block. That du'as will be what? Pending in the sky here. Once Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a gathering got together everyone to ask du'a, supplicated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, if there is anyone who has broken the family ties here, please leave from this gathering because of his curse, that Allah will not accept even our du'a. Allah will not even accept our du'a. So one sahabi left. After a while he came back. Then Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, he said, Rasulullah, I had a problem with my auntie for a while. For 4 or 5 days I didn't speak to her. I went back, I, you know, make Mustafa, say salam, sorry, ask maaf, I came back. This is the habit of the Sahaba karam. They always. So certain actions will prevent our dua. Another action, that is one, getting, you know, having problem with your own family, blood relations, people. Other very important thing is when you are a person what? Na'uzu billah, intoxicated. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stop us. May Allah protect us from those type of sins, that when you are alcoholic, you drink even on month of Ramadan, the night of Laylatul Qadr, the alcoholic and the drug addicts, du'as are not accepted by Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbid, may Allah protect us. Unfortunately, among the Muslim countries is affected, we know the Maldives, just neighboring country, 30% of Maldives is 100% Muslim country. 100% Muslim country. If you want to be a Maldivian citizen, you have to be a Muslim. In the whole world, there is only 2 countries. You have to be a Muslim to be the citizen of that country. One is Maldives, second one is Saudi Arabia. And they, recently I went for a visit for a da'wah trip, 30% of their youth is under the influence of drugs. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala change their condition and protect our youngsters as well. So du'as are not answered. Any ibadah, no, nothing will be. Ibadah also, as said, that is also one type of du'a. Nothing been answered by Allah. Right. One is getting angry with your own family members. Da'watul mazloom, that is an aqul walidain. When your parents are not happy with you, they are hurt by your own actions. They are not angry, you are not angry, but your actions are hurting them and you are torturing them in different way. When while your parents are not pleased with you, your du'as are not being accepted. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from those type of conditions. Once a sahabi, he was in his deathbed, he's suffering and he's trying to utter the kalima, he is unable to utter the kalima. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was brought to that, you know, for the same, in the place of the sahabi was laying down. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, where is the mother? She was brought and asked the mother, will you forgive your son? Mother said, I will never forgive him. Asked, what did he do? After he got married, he neglected me. Nothing wrong. I'm feeling so hurt. After he got married, he neglected me. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes we don't do it purposely, without realizing. You know, we don't realize that we are so much, you know, impressed with our new lady that we have got. We're impressed that we forget the duty of our parents. So, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, please forgive me. She was so hurt, she said, Ya Rasulullah, I'm not going to forgive you. Then Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told some youngsters, bring some firewood, I'm going to burn your son. Mother loves us very much. She said, Oh Ya Rasulullah, don't do that. I'm going to forgive you. Don't do that. He said, because if you're not going to forgive, he is going to burn in hell. So even in this condition, when your parents are not pleased with you, your du'as are not answered. So that's why, normally what we do before going for Hajj, we go to relatives, go and give salam, and this, the culture is created by asking forgiveness in order to make our du'as answered. We are going to a holy place, where place our du'as become very powerful, where Allah is answering our du'as, so we need to get them. In order to make our perfect, these are the conditions before a supplication. Right. While asking a du'a, that we have to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, send salawat upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Second, the third, very importantly, first you have to ask the du'as, that is the sunnah du'as. Rasulullah have taught us so many du'as. Asking forgiveness for the mu'min, all the believers and the parents. This first we have to ask parents, then our needs. Then our needs, and in the end, again ending by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and salawat upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is the way, the form of asking du'as. Once a sahabi was sitting and asking, Oh Allah, protect me from fitna. Umar radiallahu anhu was passing by, he said, what's wrong with you? Why are you asking dua to protect you from fitna? Don't you want wife and children and wealth? He said, no, I want this. He said, all those are fitna. Your wife is a fitna. Your wealth is a fitna. Your children are fitna. So Allah is not going to give you wife, children and wealth. He said, no, I want that. So there is a method how to ask. He said, Oh Allah, Umar radiallahu anhu taught him to ask, Oh Allah, protect me from the evil of the fitna. Fitna anyhow will occur. Fitna will take place right around, surrounding our house, every place. So we need to ask the dua by Allah, Oh Allah, protect us from the negative of the fitna. From your fight, there is a good and a bad. Oh Allah, protect me from that fitna. From the children, there is a good and a bad. Protect me from that. To generally ask, so there is a method Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us in the dua. And other way of forming of dua, two people getting together and making dua. We know in the Hayat al-Sahaba, two sahabis, before they were, you know, before they went on an expedition, on a war, on the battle, they both said, okay, I will ask dua, you say Ameen, and you ask dua, I will say Ameen. This is another form, very important. Children must make dua. Ibrahim alayhi salam, after building the Kaaba, Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ismail alayhi salam together, they raised their hand. Rabbana wa iz yarfa' Ibrahim al-qawa'id min al-bayt wa Ismail. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim. Father is making dua. Son is saying Ameen, Allahu Akbar. Son is saying, Wallah, please accept this effort we have done. All the du'as relating Ibrahim alayhi salam in Quran, it comes. There's books, all the Rabbana du'as, it comes in Quran, you can get in Islamic book center. Very beautiful du'as. All the du'as that Allah has mentioned in Holy Quran, it is perfect du'as, that's why Allah has mentioned it. So we need to have a habit of asking those du'as. By heart those things, Rabbana, Rabbana qillana wali walidina, Rabbana qillana zunubana, Rabbana atmim lana nurana, all these du'as. so many rabbanas. Ibrahim alayhi salam. So one person asking dua, other person is saying ameen, then other person. And in a gathering, as a jama'ah, whole village get together when there is drought, no rain. Salatul istisqa is about dua. Everybody gather in one valley, one place, and all raise their hands. Women, children, all the animals, everything brought in one place, they raise hands. Wallah, the dua which is simply asked in a gathering, the whole village get together and ask, it is much powerful than the dua of a prophet. Dua of a Nabi. Some will think, why? Yunus alayhi salam, he got trapped into the, you know, in the stomach of the fish, because what happened? He made dua, he left. He made badua against them, because they did not believe. All the leaders in that community got together and they realized, this prophet has said that and he has left the village, that something really going to happen. If he is a real prophet, of course Allah's azab, Allah's punishment is going to come down for us. So what they did, they said, okay, we all gather in under one valley, we'll ask forgiveness by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They all got together and asked forgiveness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lifted the azab from that village. Much more powerful than the dua of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, dua of the Prophet, when we as a Muslim get together and raise our hands. Raise our hands. So that's why in Hajj, all the Eid, the asal sunnah is the one village, all they have to get together under one, in one ground, behind one imam, together they say takbir. Allah loves that. Allah loves that. Now what has happened? Unfortunately, we Muslims, we have been divided in a different ways, where our du'as are not become very powerful. But this is while asking our du'a. Now after the du'a, now we have asked, we have, you know, submit ourselves. Every day we keep asking. First, we need to have sabr. We need to have sabr. And Allah answers our supplication in many ways. Sometimes Allah gives you the exactly what you ask. Right, given. Sometimes what Allah does, through that dua, Allah lifts certain calamity that has to come to you. Through that dua, Allah said, okay, he has asked so much, I take this away from him. The third thing, that Allah make barakah in your life. You make dua, istighfar, that Allah give you so many other things that what you have not asked. But that is khair for you. There is more benefit for you. You are asking something, there is harm for you in that. So Allah knows what to give because we love. Allah loves us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Holy Quran, عَسَىٰ أَن تُحِبُّ شَيْءًا وَهُوَ شَرٌّ لَكُمْ. Sometimes you love something, but there is harm for you in that. وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْءًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. Sometimes you dislike something. You don't like that. But Allah has kept khair, benefit for you in that. Another form of answering your dua, Allah will calculate all your dua is being, you know, stored in your book of deeds, in day of Qiyamah. For every dua you ask, Allah is going to elevate your ranking in Jannah. Every supplication you have asked, this is another form of Allah the answering. Then a slave of Allah will say, oh Allah, he will think that all my dua shouldn't be answered in this world. Now we want that dua to be answered. Day of Qiyamah will think, why did Allah answer that dua? If Allah wouldn't have answered that dua, would I get another high ranking in Jannah? So these are the different ways that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to answer our dua. So first thing, after dua, we need to have what? Sabr. We need to have sabr and accept what Allah gives us. Because we are slave of Allah. We are slave of Allah. So accept what Allah gives us. And always depend on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why we say in Holy Quran, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ. We worship you alone and we ask, you know, need, we ask help only by you. Ask help only. So every time we need to relate back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every time we go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And many a time, many people come and ask me, what are the du'as to be asked? There are so many du'as. There are so many du'as to ask. Once Aisha radiallahu anha was sitting from the Fajr, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left back, came back time of duha, still she is seated and she is still asking dua by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, Ya Aisha radiallahu anha, what are you doing? He said, I'm asking dua. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, should I inform you a very brief and a short dua? Aisha radhiyallahu anha said, O Ya Rasulullah, of course, Allahumma inni as'aluka min al-khayri kulli, ajilihi wa ajili, ma alimna minhu wa ma lam na'lam, wa na'udhu bika min al-sharri kulli, ajilihi wa ajili, ma alimna minhu wa ma lam na'lam. Another dua Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allahumma inna nas'aluka min huma sa'alaka minhu nabiyyuk wa habibuk Muhammadun sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa na'udhu bika min sharri ma sta'adha bika minhu nabiyyuk wa habibuk Muhammadun sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What is the meaning of the dua? Oh Allah, I am asking all the good. Ajilihi wa ajilihi. What has to be given to me now and what is in future. Present and in future. All the good. I am asking refuge, protection from all the evil at the moment and in future. This is the first dua. And another dua, all the things that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have asked, oh Allah, give me. All those things he has seek, you know, protection, he has asked refuge from it. Oh Allah, protect me also from it. A simple, a brief dua which contains all the dua. It contains all the dua. And the duas that after salah, now many a time we are very in hurry, we much in hurry. We go out, even you are walking out, you read those dua. Don't miss those dua. Read those dua. You see how beautiful du'as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given. So many du'as. Allahumma jibni minan nar. Allahumma inni ala zikrika wa sukrika wa husni ibadati. Allahumma inna nas'aluka ilman nafi'a wa rizqan tayyiba wa amalan mutakabbala. Allahumma inna na'u. Allahumma rizquna. وجبرنا وارزقنا واهدنا لصالح الاعمال والاخلاق سو من دعاء اللهم انت السلام ومنك السلام اللهم لا مانع لما اعطيت ايه الكرسي these all protection كل سوره after every salah قل هو الله احد قل اعوذ برب الفلق قل اعوذ برب الناس after maghrib and after fajr three ayats you have to read each surah this is the protection for us so these are the dua is sufficient another very important dua Allahumma inna na'udhu bika min an nuradda ila arzalil umur. Many a time we are becoming older and older. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, oh Allah, safeguard me from a disgraceful old age. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect. Many a time our own parents, we become very fed up because we see we are doing very disgraceful. They can't help themselves. This is a very important dua. We have to live honorably and die honorably. We should not die in a situation when people say, why, when he is going to die? No. We must leave this world when people must say, why did he leave this world at this moment? A lot of work to be done. When they need us, Allah must take us. Then only there is a lot of value and honor. So every dua that I say, day-to-day dua, morning and evening dua, this will definitely protect us. And I always say, when we are leaving our house, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us a very beautiful supplication. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika an adilla aw udalla aw azilla aw uzalla aw adhlima aw udlama aw ajhala aw yujhala. What a beautiful dua. When you leave house, what type of harm and wrong things that can be done from you, you are asking protection from all those things. That are wrong done from you to others or others doing anything wrong for you. What a beautiful dua. We have to teach this to our youngsters. If they read this, even they want to go and do something wrong, Allah will protect them. Allah will change their direction into something else. Because every day, morning and evening, this is how our du'as will be what? Become a perfect supplication. A perfect supplication doesn't mean soon as you raise your hand, you have been answered. No. That you have abide by in all these conditions. This is what is called a perfect supplication. Many prophets, they asked many different types of dua. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted them. Allah granted them. Sulaiman alayhi salam, he asked a dua. Allahumma rabbi habli mulkan la yanbaghi li ahadin min ba'di. Wallah, grant me a kingdom that after me no one should get that kingdom. Allah granted him the kingdom of heaven and the earth. Everything was given. He even controlled the birds. Even he controlled the ants, even he controlled the fishes in the sea of Allah. And Dawud alayhi salam asked to Allah, give me hikmah. His father Dawud alayhi salam, Sulaiman alayhi salam's father, he was a judge. He asked for wisdom. So all this dua, Ibrahim alayhi salam, what did he ask? What a beautiful dua. He said, oh Allah, tawaffani muslima wa alhikni bis salihin. Give me the death as a Muslim, Allah. Yusuf alayhi salam, he also asked the same dua, Allah, give me a death as a Muslim. So many du'as in the Quran, supplication, every prophet of Allah. Ayyub alayhi salam, when he was tested by a disease, which I don't think anyone in this world would have got such a disease, his entire body become. So my respected brothers and elders in Islam, alhamdulillah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, du'a is a weapon of a believer. We can use it how we want. Sometimes some people regret, they have asked certain stupid du'as and Allah have answered it, because of that they are living in a regret. So we need to know what we must ask, how to ask, and when to ask. Sometimes we as parents, we feel so hurt, and then we make some du'as against our own children. And then we see from our own eyes, our children are suffering, and then now we are regretting. So we have to be very much patient when you are asking du'a, when you are in certain position of that. You must be very much careful about it. Sometimes, one of your brothers have done something wrong for you, unjust. You get so angry, you ask du'a against of him. And your situation that Allah answers your du'a. And now you see your brother is suffering, now you are regretting it. So always you have to think before you ask. When in situation like that. As a parent, when you ask du'a for the children. When we ask du'a, when we are in a situation, when we have been oppressed, when something has happened, pretty much. When you are in a position of authority, you are an imam, something has happened, you can ask du'a. At that time, your du'a, you have to be always love. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never used to curse anyone. When sometimes sahabas used to come and say, those people have done this, he said, I have not been sent to this world in order to curse others. Always used to wish the best. Even a person who has done injustice to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wrongdoing for Rasulullah, always sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to ask du'a for forgiveness for them. Allah to accept that. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our du'as perfect du'as. May Allah accept our du'as, answer our du'as, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make all of us abide by all these conditions what they have spoke when we are supplicating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين. What I have spoken is good and correct. It is from Allah and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And whatever I have spoken, it was wrong or it was not appropriate, it's from me and from shaitan. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين. جزاكم الله خيرا. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.